it wasn't that difficult to get robot readings, so it's probably not that difficult just to change the sound of a human reading also, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of different audio editors give you some sort of choice about how to affect the timbre and all of the ways that a sound sounds. Right now, I'm using Audacity, for example, and there's right there on the menu, there's it says effects, and I can highlight something in the waveform in the audio and click the effect and just apply it to it.
And I have an iPhone app that does some of those effects, so you don't always have to be bound to a desktop computer to do these types of things. You can have it in your pocket.
Yeah, that's super cool. And I think just about any audio editing software now and in the future would let you do things like this, add different kinds of effects to sounds and to voices. And again, I think some of those are more useful than others. There's that word useful we keep using.
Marconi was the first to connect an aerial
to one side of a spark gap and a ground to the other side of it.
We used an induction coil to energize the spark gap and a telegraph key in the primary circuit to break up the current signals. Adding a Morse register, which printed the dot and dash messages on a tape.
Like, I can imagine if I was recording a radio drama, if I'm trying to make it sound like someone is in a different sort of space, if I'm trying to make it sound like someone is on an old-timey transistor radio thing, I could add some kind of effect to do that. If I want to make it sound like someone's underwater, I can add echo or reverb. These are all basic things that are pretty easy. If I want to make someone's voice sound higher or lower, if I want to play it backwards, again, all of that is easy in today's software. I think you can get into some really interesting questions about, same as we've been saying over and over, how does the meaning of an audio text change when we start adding little layers to the voice effects?